Hello, everyone. I am coming in hot this morning. I've had kind of having a little bit of an event here at the Crabtree House. My husband is not feeling well. His stomach's hurting. And we were up all night long with him. And it's been kind of happening for about a week now. So he's going to the doctor today, so nobody needs to worry, including myself. But you know how it goes. Sometimes you just got tummy troubles. My mom keeps saying, well, you know, nothing good can come of being over 50. Like, mammy. So let me see. I need to find my announcements. All right. So let me tell you the announcements, and then we will get to questions. So if you have a question for me, just use hashtag ask, and my team will put everything over here for me so I can answer y'all's questions. First up is we have 25 swag boxes left. It's going to be about 2,400 to 2,500 of us No BS women ringing in the new year together. And I would just like everyone to collectively give me an applause, because as of this morning, every video script is completely written, proofread by me, and ready to film. So it's such good stuff. I am really going to harp on your asses about your habits and stuff, but the emotional fuel that you need to drive them and the thinking behind it. We are going to work on this like an effing boss the whole time. You will leave there knowing how to change your thoughts, if nothing else. I bet I say it 1,000 times. I also want to say congratulations to all the turkey trot finishers. I did a turkey trot every day on vacation, except for one. I was really sick one day with a big swelled eyeball. It was like the size of a walnut. So I took Benadryl all day. The crab trees are falling apart. But my mom was going to do it with me, and she was in a car accident a few weeks ago. And so her foot is still, she may have like a little hairline fracture in there or something going on, but we didn't want to test her foot. So Mamie got a pass, but I did one every single day. Mr. Crabtree ran almost every single day. He was clocking more than 20,000 steps every single day. I was like, what are you even doing? He was getting more than me. And then if everybody will please remember that Caitlin McCracken is one of our members. She is going for a Best Baker Award. It's a big deal. Caitlin lost a lot of weight with me, started her own business. She makes homemade I think it's macaroons. They're delicious. She brought one. She's been to camp several times. She is a wonderful mom, just a sweetheart. One of our success stories. If you guys will go to the Facebook group and just search Caitlin, it's K-A-T-E-L-Y-N. You'll find the link. One of my people will also put it in the link to vote in here. We're really trying to make sure she wins this thing. And there's a lot of us, so we should be able to do it. Don't forget that the Binge Better program is up and running. My best friend, Miss Jane Pilger, kicked it all off last night at 5 p.m. Central Time. She's going to be doing calls every Tuesday, except for one Tuesday. I think it's the Tuesday of Christmas week. She's doing the Binge Better calls and teaching the course. If you want more information on it, all you got to do is go to pnptribe.com. There is a banner at the top, or you can go to the bonus courses, and you will find our beautiful hub that has all the Binge Better resources. The replays will be there. They will go into your private member podcast. And if you want to attend the classes live, you can do so on Tuesdays at 5 p.m. There is also a Facebook group for this group. They're over there just chit-chatting away. And you don't have to be a binge eater to get a lot of value out of this program. It's specific to binging because Jane is an expert on binging because she's still a binger. And she's just been working at it for, you know, half her life and knows all kinds of things. And so she just is a wonderful resource for all of us to have. And so all the tools though that she created can absolutely be used for overeating. So you don't have to be a binge eater, but if you're struggling with overeats and you just can't seem to break the habit of them, I highly recommend you get over there, download the workbook, watch the videos, and follow along for the week or for the month, because it's going to be invaluable to your process. Lisa Smith is also doing a parenting call tonight at 5 p.m. Central Time. So if you need help with your kids and some parenting help, Lisa is here this tonight to help us out. Office hours tomorrow night with Coach Betsy at 5 p.m. Central Time. And on Saturday at 10 a.m. Central, I will be teaching on the scale coaching. So like all coaching will be about weighing in and your relationship with your weight and your relationship with the scale. And then Coach Kim, one of our new coaches, is taking over office hours on Sunday for me. I will be traveling, hopefully traveling on Sunday. Depends on what happens with Chris. If he has to get some tests run, I may have to stay in Nashville just to make sure that everything's covered with the baby tiger and stuff. But as of right now, Coach Kim will be taking over for me on Sunday, and you all will get the opportunity to get coached by her. I will just tell you all, she is as sassy as I am. If you love some Coach MJ and Coach Corinne real talk, you will love Coach Kim. She is just like us. We are team sassy over there. All right. First question. Can you tell us why we are all gung-ho at the beginning of the month and then 2 weeks in just start to slack off? Yeah, your thoughts change. That's it. Your thoughts that you have at the beginning change after 2 weeks. That is all that ever happens. In fact, one of the things that we're going to talk about at camp is about this effect. You know, everybody's always excited in the beginning because you have fresh new thoughts. A lot of it's like, this is my month. This is when it's going to work. Like, you know, I got everything all set up. There's a lot of enthusiasm that goes around like setting up stuff. If you're running out of steam 2 weeks in, it's because you're not using the same thoughts you were using in the beginning. You're like, if you, like when you fresh write a plan that first week and you're like, ooh, you know, I've made my plans. I'm so excited. I, you know, potential is in front of me, that kind of stuff. You have to have that same thinking every single day. Like you can't quit thinking planning is fun after day one. You have to think every day when you plan like, ooh, potential is ahead of me today. Like planning is fun. I'm so glad I'm doing this. Every single day, you have to work the mindset. So the easiest way to do this is think about what you think about when you start over at the beginning of the month, write those thoughts down, and then challenge yourself, how do I use them the entire month? Why do I quit using them? What thoughts change? Most of you go to, this isn't as important. I'm tired of doing this. Like you talk to yourself like that and y'all don't think that that's an option. Y'all just use some tired, exhausting bullshit thinking and don't redirect your mind. If it feels boring, tiring, or exhausting, those are feelings in the think, feel, do cycle. That ain't your diet's job to be excited. That's your job. That means if you've got boring, dreadful, unexciting thoughts, level your shit up. Find those. I mean, most of you are going to have to tell yourself shit every single day on purpose because you're just used to thinking your old boring shit. You want to do better? You got to start thinking better. That's the only way we do better. I just don't have any motivation to get going on a schedule again. I keep putting it off and now we are starting another month. Yeah, because of your thinking. Quit waiting to be motivated. Tap into, am I willing? I may not be excited about it, but that's because I got some shit thoughts like, I probably won't be able to do it. I can't lose weight anyway. This shit sucks. I don't know why she makes me do it. I don't even think this journal shit even works. It didn't work last month. I don't know why the fuck I'd think it would work this month. Y'all talk like that. And you think like that, and then you wonder why you have dread for the process and have a hard time getting excited. I ain't no fairy. I'm not going to like come to your house and like sprinkle glitter all over and be like, you're excited, McFairy, for losing weight. Just arrived. You're welcome. That is not how it works. What I do is point out how you get in your way. Your job is to now come up with better thinking. Amy, you need to listen to yourself. What demotivating thoughts am I having? And what am I willing to tell myself instead? Because if you're willing to tell unmotivated shit, you need to be willing to tell yourself better stuff. Y'all quit acting like your old shitty thoughts are a problem. They're coming in. Incoming. Stop wishing them away. Quit being frustrated by them. Or quit acting like you don't have a choice in the matter. You do not have to keep thinking them. You need to find them, and then you need to come up with better thinking. Like, let's see. If you want to get on your schedule again, you're probably having thoughts like, it won't work. It's going to be hard. I have to do these things. Ain't nobody in this damn tribe got to do anything. I'm just telling all of you right now. None of you, every single one of you, say this right now. I don't have to do a damn thing. Every time I tell myself I'll have to make a plan, I'll have to give this up, I'll have to feel this way, that is some bullshit. It smells, and you need to clean it up. You choose to. Here's what I choose to do. Sit in my diaper. Or I choose to eat this because I want a better life for me. Much better thinking. I get to. I choose to. Every one of you, get out a piece of paper right now and write out. Y'all have to do it this exact second if you're driving. But all of you should do this exercise. What are the things in my life that I tell myself I have to do? It never feels good to say I have to. It always feels disempowering. It creates a sense that something outside of you forces you to do this. You don't even have to take care of your kids. But some of you will say, well, I have to take care of my kids. Look, I would never talk about my child that way. You know why? I love his ass. You know what I do? I choose to take care of my kid. I get to take care of my kid. I'm the best one equipped to take care of my kid. That's empowered thinking. And y'all are going to have to check your ass and quit sitting around with your disempowered thinking and then being confused why you don't feel any better. So make a list. Where are you telling yourself some horse shit that you have to do? Make your list. Then go to argue with either, oh, wait, I don't even have to do that. I just keep telling myself that just should be a no. Like, I just need to, like, grow a pair and start saying no. And then, but the rest of it, like, talk to yourself like you're your own hero. Don't talk to yourself like a jackass. So many of you will come here like, I just feel so exhausted and stressed out and overwhelmed by the end of the day. Yeah, because you're sitting around doing a lot of I have to thinking. I don't have a choice. I have to do this. You always got a choice. This is the funny thing. A lot of times is like you will sit there and you'll like you have a choice. You just don't want the repercussions of it. So don't sit there and act like you don't. Like, I don't have to take care of Logan, but you know what? I won't go to jail either. So there's no reason for me to sit there and say I have to take care of him. I just don't like the choice of not taking care of him and going to jail. Just like y'all say, I have to go to work. No, you don't. You just don't want the choice, the repercussion of being homeless. Sitting your ass out in the cold in the winter. Just tell the truth. I don't have to go. I choose to go. I really like a roof over my head. Here's the real truth. I just don't like the job. I tell myself a bunch of shit about the job. There's the real truth. But I no longer drag my ass there every day telling myself I have to. That level of stressful exhaustion, gone. I'm not doing that to myself anymore. If you don't like the job, then just be in that part of the shit. But don't increase your shit by pissing all over it. Not sure if I should just wait and ask Jane this, but when I'm trying to follow the doable hunger method, sometimes that can feel restricting to not eat when I really want to, even if I'm not hungry. It's feeling restricted because of what you're telling yourself, JoJo. If you're telling yourself, I can't have it because I'm not hungry, that will always lead to restriction. If you tell yourself, I'm not hungry, I'll be okay waiting 15 more minutes, you won't feel restricted. So you need to unwind what it is that you're telling yourself. That's what sets you up. Like, that is what will set up for the binge. That, like, any time that you're using restrictive talking to yourself, that will increase the likelihood of binging. So often we get so afraid we're going to binge that when we're like, when we're trying to work on our hunger and stuff, we tell ourselves a lot of anxiety inducing thoughts to not eat. It's like, think about hunger comes up and it's like, you feel your hunger out. Like, here I am. Hunger has hit. And you tell yourself, or let's say, no, it's not hunger. Let's say desire to eat comes up and you start going, oh no, can't eat. Not supposed to eat. I shouldn't eat. This is wrong. That feels restrictive. It's a restrictive conversation about your hunger or your want or your desire or whatever. Work on what kind of conversation you want to have around when you just want and have urges. Why am I afraid to finish my modules? I don't know. Tell me, Jane or Janet, type something in there. I ain't no mind reader. You are every one of you. You are your own best mind reader. You know why? It's in your head. I'm not finishing my modules because I haven't opened my computer up. Because I'm afraid I won't do the work anyway. Because I don't think they'll help, because I'll have to do everything she tells me to, because I'll have to give up some stuff that I don't want to give up. All of those will be the thoughts that are stopping you from just listening and deciding if you want to do it or not. What's so funny is you're afraid to finish your modules, but you'll show up on a fucking Facebook Q&A with me where all I'm doing is teaching the principles of the modules. I'm going to bust your bubble, Janet. You're already doing the work. Showing up for a Q&A and listen to me expound my knowledge based on all that shit over there in the modules. Guess what? You have the opportunity to do or not do. You didn't save yourself any heartache. So go watch a module. Learn why, what thinking is getting in your way so that you can stop. Like you said, I'm afraid. So you're just sitting in fear. You're not saving yourself. Like, you're probably afraid of what might happen. You're probably afraid you'll fail. You're probably afraid of all this other stuff. Guess what you're just doing? Living in fear and then shrinking back and not doing anything. Getting close to wanting to do it. Ooh, no, I'm afraid. You're feeling fear anyway. It's like you're walking up to a hot stove and continually tapping it and wondering why your skin burns. Just go push play. The worst that's going to happen is you hear a bunch of shit and think it's a no. You already have decided it's a no now. At least give my shit the opportunity to land and see if you want it to be a no. Don't decide ahead of time to fail. How can I get over the idea that I can do this without journaling and writing a plan? Somehow I feel embarrassed to write a plan and can't figure out why. Yes, you can. Everybody, no one is allowed. I don't even want to see a question where somebody says, I don't know why. Take a fucking guess, y'all. No more saying I don't know why. You know what I'm going to do? Next time I do Q&A, I'm going to come in here with a turban. Because y'all are expecting me to sit here and be like, oh, my magic eight ball tells me. You do know why. You're embarrassed. Why? I'm embarrassed because I keep thinking someone will read it. I'm embarrassed because I keep thinking it won't work. I'm embarrassed because when I see the foods that I really want to eat, I think they're wrong. You want to know that stuff so that you can get over that shitty thinking. Any thought that's in there, like, just write some stuff down. Take guesses. I would much rather you guys take guesses at this stuff and see if it rings true. If it does, let's work on changing it. That's why I give you them damn pages in the back. You can just write something like, I feel embarrassed. I wonder why. Could be these things. I'm thinking these sentences. And just take wild stabs. 10 wild stabs. One of them will sound very true. And then on the bottom, it'll say, here's what I'm currently thinking. Put one sentence in. That makes me feel embarrassed. And when I'm embarrassed, I take guesses at what to eat all day long. I'm on and off with my eating because I don't have a plan. I have to ask myself thousands of times, what do you want to eat today? What do you want to eat tonight? Do you think I should eat this now? I don't know. What are we going to have tonight? That's where that model, or that's where that little think, feel, do cycle goes. The next one is, well, what could I be thinking that wouldn't be embarrassing about writing a food plan in a journal? I'm learning to accept all foods have equal value. How does that feel? Calm. Curious. Ease. Insightful. Way better than embarrassing. And when you feel that, when you feel curious and insightful, guess what? You write shit down and learn what works and what doesn't. End of story. How can you find some motivation when you are deep in the grieving process of losing someone? My little sister passed away on November 16th, and I'm finding I can't find any focus. I play podcasts, et cetera, but my mind drifts. So this is, first of all, I'm sorry about your sister, Melanie. One of the things that I would do, and I would highly recommend, there's a book, if you want to read it, called The Practicing Mind, where he talks about how like the mind works and how its job is to wander. The reason why your mind is wandering right now is because you are grieving. I wouldn't have high expectations of myself to be really motivated, really focused. I mean, I really want you to think about this. How do you want to be feeling right now? Really? You probably want to have times when you're sad. You want to have times when you're grieving. You want to have times when you're upset. And then there's going to be small parts of the day where you just want to feel okay, a little focused or whatever. Look for the small parts where you can feel focused and stuff. Look for the small opportunities. Find those. Do it in that moment. And then allow yourself to go back and watch where your mind drifts to. This is really important because wherever your mind is drifting to is probably where your mind needs to go to heal. So just listen for those thoughts and stuff rather than trying to like, I just need to get motivated. Motivation is awesome, but it is one of those feelings that we all try to get way too often. We need to be able to experience all the emotions, not just the good ones. So you need to be in your process. Part of your grieving process is not going to be super focused. It's going to be to let your mind wander and follow it to see where it goes and listen and be understanding and compassionate with yourself where you're at and ask, like, is this where I want to be right now? How can I be with myself with this right now? How can I take care of myself knowing this is where my mind wants to go right now? Those are ways, like, I don't know that you need to be looking for motivation. I think you need to be looking for compassion for yourself. Would you say the same thing about not believing that I will actually be able to lose the weight? I have been here a while and lost 7 pounds. I currently fear I may not be able to change enough to lose what I want. Would you say the same thing about not believing that I will actually be able to lose weight? Yeah. Why would you ever choose, like, somebody please tell me. Everybody please tell me. One upside to thinking I'm not going to be able to lose weight. If you can give me the upside to it, I'll let you keep your shitty thought. It just doesn't serve any purpose. I think that's one of the things that you guys, you're just like, but I'm so afraid I'm not going to lose weight. It's like, I get it. And it's because you're not working on your mindset around what you want to believe in. I will tell you, January camp is all about belief. The first day and a half, I drill into you motherfuckers about that big time. But it's a process of being like thinking about, is it ever helpful for me to think for a second that I can't lose weight? If it's not, then anytime that thought comes in, I need to remind myself, like rather than thinking I can't lose weight, thinking I'm willing to keep going. That's such a better thought. I'm willing to keep working on my goal than to sit there and be like, oh, it's probably never going to happen. Even if you have it's probably never going to happen. At least say, this, we're teaching this in the Thought Ladder Marathon. But I'm willing to keep going no matter what. That shifts your energy out. And if you've been here a while and you've only lost 7 pounds, figure out what's getting in your way. What things am I doing? Make a list without it being a fucking beatdown list. Pick one and get to work on it because you deserve success. And you tell yourself, I will be working. Like somebody tell, like Andrew, tell me like one thing you know that like, this is good for all of you. What is one thing you know right now? Like for all of you who are not getting the results you want, what is like, there's this one thing I know if I would work on this one small aspect, it'd make a big difference. Like for a lot of you, it's either, it always comes down to two things. Y'all have a problem waiting for your hunger, or you have a problem stopping when you've had enough. Pick one. Let's pick. Which one y'all want? Somebody tell me. Number one is waiting for hunger. Number two is stopping when you've had enough. Y'all want one or two? First few people to give me some numbers is which one I'm going to do. Not water. One or two. We're going to work on hunger. Y'all are slow to the punch. Either that or my stream yard is. Wait for hunger. Number two. Stopping. Number two. Got two. All right. Number two. All right. Stopping when we've had enough. So we're going to work on that one thing. And we're not going to work on nothing else the rest of the month. You can make some doable plans. You can do the other stuff. Like you can drink your water. You can make your doable plans. You can do all that stuff. But your energy and your focus and everything feel do cycle and what you talk to yourself about all day long is going to be solely focused around like today, no matter what, we're going to be waiting. We're going to stop when we've had enough. That's what we're focused on. So you wake up in the morning, you write down 5 ways every single day. You write down 5 ways that today you can practice stopping when you've had enough. And you do that for like a solid month. And you come up with new things. And then as things start to work, you just keep repeating, writing them down, writing them down, writing them down. You get out a phone and you're like, all right, every time I eat, my phone will be out. My timer will be going. And every 2 minutes, I'm going to eat. And every 2 minutes, I'll stop for 30 seconds. I don't get to put the fork in my mouth for 30 seconds. I get to listen to myself going, this is some bullshit. Corinne had a terrible idea. I don't know why I'm even doing this. This is crap. That smells good. Somebody's going to think I'm crazy. Everybody's going to wonder why my phone's out. You get to listen for all of it. And you guess what you get to do? Not judge it. Not shove it away. You let it run its course. And then when 2 minutes is up, you eat for 2 minutes. You stop again for 30 more seconds. That's how you work on it's not, you know, stopping when you've had enough. Every single day before you eat, you remind yourself, we are going to pause. We are going to leave 2 bites behind. You set a goal every single time you eat for 30 days. My goal is 1 bite today. My goal today is to serve myself less. Tomorrow, my goal is I will have white space on my plate. My goal the next day is I will be eating out of a smaller bowl today. You just come up with a bajillion ideas for a solid 30 days on how to stop when you've had enough until you get used to doing it. That's it. So in month one, if you get really good at stopping when you've had enough, you look at that month, you say, all right, what's next? What else am I fucking up over here? Oh, I notice that every night at 8 o'clock, I eat my face off. I might be stopping when I've had enough, but at 8 o'clock, it's like, ding dong. I need to eat. I fucking deserve it. I might be hungry at 9 o'clock. I'm scared to death. What'll happen to my poor, delicate flower soul if I go to bed with a tummy growl? Whatever it is, it's coming up, right? So guess what you do for 30 days? You continue the not enough. You figure out the easy things that you tried that are easy for you to do. So you don't drop that habit. Then for the next 30 days, you're going ham on eating at 8 o'clock at night. You got accountability partners you text every single night. You don't sit in your big comfy chair where you normally eat your big ass bowl of ice cream. You decide to not buy the ice cream for a couple of weeks. Been like, I am just going to give myself the gift of not even being tempted at night. Not going to buy my favorite ice cream. I'm going to get used to sitting there and wanting it, because here's what we know. Whether the ice cream's in the house or not, my ass will want it. I'll sit there and like I asked to myself that I didn't buy it. You'll get to go through it. It just won't be as easy to go get it. And you'll learn. And you'll come up with all the things that you need to do. And guess what? Month two, you'll probably have drastically reduced or eliminated your 8 p.m. snacking. Every single morning, guess what you're going to do? You're going to wake up. You're going to come up with your 5 ideas for not eating your face off at 8 o'clock. And you know what you're going to do also in the mornings? Every single time you try at 8 o'clock at night, you either fail or succeed. You talk like a motherfucking badass to yourself in your journal. You write about how you deserve to do this work. You write about how you're learning about yourself, that you're doing it different this time, that you owe it to yourself to always be working on you. Not everybody would do that, but I do it. Y'all got to talk better to yourself. And that happens in your journaling. All of you are like, I don't know about this journaling shit. Stop. You want to change your relationship with you and food? Get to writing about the relationship you want to have. Most of you like don't want to journal because all you do is go in there and tear yourself apart. I don't think there's any problem with finding some of your busted thoughts. But if you like, you get half your journaling time to be a horseshit like download. The other half, I want you to sit there and appreciate yourself for taking the time to journal, for listening to your shit, for being willing to think about it, for having goals, for being a no BS woman, for continuing to show up no matter what. Even in the days you don't feel like it, you're still trying to think better, do better, and eat better. So basically what ends up happening, because y'all are always in such a rush, act like you got to change everything overnight. I don't teach you to change everything overnight. I teach you the things to do to lose weight. Plug and play. Break them down. Get good at them. Month one, month two. If you, all of you, in 60 days, I just, like, everybody just take a big deep breath in. And I want you to picture yourself in 60 days. If you were consistent with eating just enough and you had given up one of your snacking habits that you know damn well is some horseshit, that you don't need it. What do you think would happen in 60 days? You'd feel good about yourself. You taught yourself how to not be afraid of trying new things. You would have increased your capacity to be creative with your problems and how to solve them. You'd be sitting there very proud of yourself for doing work. You would have learned to journal. You would have learned how to come up with new ideas like a boss, because if you were doing it 5 times every single day for 60 days, there would be no problem in your future you couldn't overcome. And you will be that person simply because for 30 days, you practice stopping when you've had enough, listening to yourself rather than arguing with yourself or ignoring yourself, doing the same thing with your nighttime eating habit. That's all it takes. And then every month you do that, you guys don't even know the power of changing a couple of little habits. When you do, like, if you get through that 60 days doing that, month 3 is way easier. Month 2 is way easier. But you start catching momentum and steam at that point. Because you've debunked the belief that you can't do shit. You've proven it to yourself. You can do more than you're capable of, that you know how to be creative. You know how to keep going. You know how to talk to yourself. You know how to unlearn old habits that you didn't think you could. Suddenly, the possibilities ahead of you are huge. And you're probably more willing to try more things. But it's got to start with this like diehard willingness to get started. Whoever said, well, shit, I want to be the person she's talking about, you can. That was me. Fuck y'all. Like, seriously? I don't know what the hell y'all thought I was before I lost my way. Was suicidal at 17. I eloped and was divorced by 20. I had no college education, working minimum wage jobs, trying to get ahead, scrappy as fuck, eating my face off, doing donkey butt shit, just self-esteem in the toilet. In the toilet. I was not the person you see. But I started making different decisions with my thinking about myself. There is not a fucking thing I tell y'all to do that I have not done myself. If you look up to me, then you need to know it's possible for you. I promise you. And I haven't even, y'all don't even know everything I've been through. I just don't like to dwell on it. I like to think that I've overcome all of it. And it's not because there's something special about me. I did exactly what I tell you guys every single day. I woke up one morning at 10 a.m. and I made a different decision. I didn't even eat different that day. But that's the day everything started. That was the day that I just was like, I'm going to figure this out. And I never stopped thinking it. Even when I didn't believe, I had no reason to think I'd lose my weight. Genetically, it was not in the cards for Corinne. I did not grow up knowing how to cook or do anything. Like, every excuse that all of us have got in the book of lies of why we can't lose weight, I had them. Every single one of them. I just didn't live by my book of lies anymore. I took one thought and said, I'm figuring it out. And every time I overate, every time I was tempted, every time I didn't know what to do, like especially if I didn't know what to do, I'd go to the gym. I didn't know shit about weights and stuff. I didn't know what to do. I would just be like, I'm just going to figure it out. I'll take a class. I'll go to the back. This is what I did a lot when I first started doing group classes. So I really wanted to lose weight and they had body pump. And I was so out of shape. And I was going to be in, I knew that I was going to go in there. I was going to be the biggest girl, most out of shape, wasn't going to be able to keep up. And I was going to be embarrassed as fuck. But I wanted to figure it out. So I was like, I will be the girl in the back, closest to the door. And the moment it's too hard, it'll be very easy to walk out. And I did walk out sometimes, but I always came back because I was determined to figure it out. It's a thousand tiny decisions, y'all. There's literally nothing different about me and you other than I decided to keep going when it was hard and you decide to quit when it gets hard. And you give yourself reasons and excuses. And you quit to feel the relief. I kept going and allowed myself to feel the discomfort of figuring it out. And it was the smallest of things between me and you. Some of you are fuck it eating every night. And when I fuck it ate, I stopped in the middle until I got good at not doing that anymore. Some of you won't get to, you won't even make that part. You are so hard on yourselves that you'll finish a fuck it eat even when you catch it, just because you're berating yourself. The difference between me and you is when I caught myself fuck it eating, I stopped berating myself over it and decided what I wanted for me. I am still feeling severely guilty when I inconvenience someone, even if it can't be helped. What can I do to change my thoughts? Just look for what thoughts, like your thought is, I'm inconveniencing someone versus this needs to get done. Show sense in feeling guilty. If it's, especially if it can't be helped, you just have to kind of tell yourself, guilt is not a feeling that's required right now. This could, like, just tell yourself, this couldn't be helped. I don't like inconveniencing people, but that's just what it is. Even just leveling up to that. I haven't weighed myself in a month. I want to, but hesitate. I've done journaling. I know it's data. Shit. I just get on there. I just tell myself, I'm going to get on there and I'm going to listen to whatever it is I'm afraid of. Then I'm going to learn. This is your opportunity to redefine the relationship. And a lot of times when I get on the scale, first thing I tell myself is, this is an opportunity to love myself. I tell myself before I get on there, I'm probably going to have a lot of shit thoughts that come up. And when they run their course, I'm going to remind myself, this changes nothing. I either live the way I'm going to live or not. The number is not changing that. I'm always deciding. That always helps me. How do you be happy where you are when things are great? You remind yourself of the things that are great. It's really simple. We overcomplicate it. I totally get this. Financially stable, great family, improving thoughts and losing weight, work for a great company, great people, but I keep feeling like I'm stagnant and bored in my job, but I feel that's nitpicky and I should just be happy where I am. You could be bored and stagnant. Just look for those bored and stagnant. Is feelings created by thoughts you have about your job. So just know that and find those, Tracy. The other part is a lot of times I've been a really good book that you should read. It's called The Big Leap. For all of you who, it's called Upper Limit Problems. I run into this at times when you are at a point in your life where, let's say that most of your life has been a struggle or you're used to not thinking positively about your life or whatever, but you're doing the works. Like you're finally losing your weight and you know, like all things are going well. What happens a lot of times is that if some of your core practiced beliefs are, you know, like I should be happy, but I'm not. But your core belief is, you know, things are just hard. We struggle. I can't do. Like if you've always told yourself that narrative, when you actually start getting the things that for a long time you believed weren't in your realm of possibility, it runs interference with that core belief. So you've got these new thoughts coming in. It's like, oh my God, I'm actually thin, blah, blah, blah. And you've got this other like, yeah, but we've never been thin, blah, blah, blah. What happens is rather than like relishing in the goodness, we nitpick and look for problems so we can lower the temperature and get back to what we're used to feeling. One of the reasons why I work so hard on teaching you guys to enjoy the process and change your mindset as you're losing weight, like we're going to love what we do. We're going to learn to love ourselves. We're going to talk differently to ourselves, all this other stuff. It's so that when you get there with your weight loss, you can hang on to it. You're already used to feeling amazing about yourself before you lose your weight. The more you get to where you can feel really good, you can create amazing thoughts, you can find what's right before you can find what's wrong, you'll stay there. What happens is a lot of times with weight loss is we get there and we are excited at first. You can't help but be excited. It's like, ah, I weigh 150. Ah, I'm wearing a size 8. It's like, woo, people are commenting all the time. But after a couple months, it's not as exciting to go shopping. You just are a size 8. You're not like, wow, I'm a size 8. Oh my God, can you believe it? It's like the first like month, yeah, all you want to do is shop. Next month, you only spend so much money. Eventually, you get used to it. at first, when you reach out to her, it's like, oh my God, I'm at goal. This is amazing. I've worked so hard. High five, Corinne. We did it. 6 months down the road, it's like, it's 150. Okay. Like, you're just not celebrating every day. We think we are going to celebrate every day. You're not. You're going to get on the scale on 150 and be like, well, the holidays are coming. Probably going to be tough. You know, it was really hard around Christmas not to gain a little weight. That's our brain recalibrating back to looking for what's wrong rather than looking for what's right. So if you think you should be happy, like, you have to work on that. You're not owed happiness, none of you. You're not owed satisfaction. Just because everything is right doesn't mean you're going to think along those lines. If you want to be happy about stuff, if you want to feel good and grateful and stuff, write about it every single day. This morning, I wrote a lot about Chris and why I'm so grateful for him and that I love him. I was just kind of getting nervous about him not feeling good. It brought up really suddenly to me, like, oh my God. Like, he's in his 50s. Like, my brain just started, like, going crazy about, you know, the king's not feeling good. Ooh, what is that? You know, what if something happens? And I literally wrote in my journal this morning, I don't want to spend my time thinking about what ifs. I really want to spend my time enjoying my husband. So I enjoyed him on paper this morning. I wrote about all the things I love about him. And all the things that are amazing and stuff. It doesn't mean that we're not going to make him a doctor's appointment. It just means that I'm not going to sit around and think a bunch of horseshit when I can be in love with him. Same thing happens with our life. We want to be in love with our life. We need to consciously be in love with our life. We're not owed that. Could you explain the difference between restrictions and doing doable plans? Last night, listening to Jane, got concerned about I am just doing restricting. I keep my portions smaller, eat half a plate, etc. I thought that was how I would learn enough. Now I'm questioning. It all restricting is not just what you do. It's a mindset behind how you do it. If you're doing it from, I'm learning how to know I've had enough, that's not a restrictive behavior. If you're eating half a plate because you're telling yourself, I can't have a full one, I'll get fat if I don't, I'm so out of control, I only can serve myself this. That's restriction thinking. It's the thinking that backs up the actions. That's more what we're interested in. I know that journaling is where it's at. It is, Tamika. Thank you. I know that I have to start doing more of it. What are some things to encourage this? To keep thinking, that's where it's at. I'm going to make so much progress when I start journaling. It's never going to be as bad as I'm thinking it is. So many people find it helpful. I should see what that's about. That looks fun. Like, when they talk about it, sounds like they're making wicked progress. I bet I could make some wicked progress too. Like, talking about it like that, way more fun, right? Like, when I think about my journal, I'm not like, oh, it's time to journal. I wonder what kind of shit show I got working today. I wonder what all things I'm not going to be able to eat today. Let me make that list. Like, a lot of y'all go into it like that and wonder why it feels like, you know, tearing your fingernails off one by one. Every day, I like getting my journal and I sit there and I think, I cannot wait to journal. I know I'm going to feel better when I'm done. A lot of y'all tell yourself that around food. Flip the conversation. Tell yourself that about your journaling. And when it comes to all this bullshit eating, use your journal thoughts. I'm afraid of what will happen to me if I keep eating at 8 o'clock every night. Maybe try flipping some of that and see what happens. I have the thought we are human and supposed to have problems. That feels very true, but also has a whiff of horseshit to it. I think about that belief. I don't think there's anything wrong with that belief. You could level it up a little bit with we are human and we're supposed to have problems and we have a reasoning brain that can handle the fuck out of them. You can just put that onto the end. But we are supposed to have problems. I think that that's just a normal part of life. My thing is like, I'm not afraid of having problems at all. I don't want to be afraid of having problems because they are a part of life. I want to be very accepting of that part. going to do the work on me that says, you can handle anything. You'll always figure it out. Here's what I know. Every one of us are batting 100 on our bad days. Y'all always think you're not going to be able to survive, that you can't do it, blah, blah, blah. If you're sitting here right now, you have a batting average of 100. 100% of the time, you survive bad days, you get through things, and you solve shit. Every fucking one of you. So anybody that's sitting there telling yourself the book of lies about how you can't handle shit, you can't do things, whatever, wrong. You still here. You're on a Facebook Live. You're listening on a replay. Surviving just fine. You're still learning. You're in the game. I'm going to tell you right now, for every one of you, somebody joined with you and somebody quit. You know where they're at? The outside doing nothing. They gave in to the relief of quitting because it would feel good. They gave in to the lie that it won't work. They allowed themselves to believe thoughts instead of changing them. That is the difference between you and someone who quits and leaves this program and tries to find whatever it is that they're seeking in the next diet plan, in the next Weight Watchers round. Let them go do it. You are different. It's literally a decision at a time, y'all. The only way you're going to lose weight is one bite at a time, one meal at a time, one plan at a time, one day at a time. Don't rush the process. Don't hate the process. Start talking about it like you're a badass. Start talking about it like it's a gift you give yourself every single day. It will change how you think about things and feel about things. I promise you. All right. That's everything. Batting 1,000. Sorry, I kept saying batting 100. You tell I don't watch the baseball. I'm the basketball football girl. All right, y'all have a good one. I will see everybody on Saturday, 10 a.m. We will talk about the scale and how marvelous it is and how much information it gives us and that it's our best friend. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.